and welcome to another episode of LID Radio Podcast. Today on our Inside Knowledge series, we're talking to Kevin Duncan. Kevin is a business advisor, marketing expert, motivational speaker, and author. He's written 20 books and they've sold over 180,000 copies. They've been voted amongst the Telegraph Business Club Book of the Week, W.H. Smith Book of the Month, Foyle's Book of the Month, and also nominated for the CMI Management Book of the Year Award, whilst also being translated into over a dozen languages. So we're talking to Kevin today about his book, The Smart Strategy Book, 50 Ways to Solve Tricky Business Issues, and this couldn't be more relevant at the moment. So in this episode, Kevin will be reading 5 extracts from his book that will help you make those tricky business decisions. So now over to Kevin. Number 1.
Think before you plan. Strategy expert Max McEwen believes that thinking before you plan is vital. Strategists who don't take time to think are just planners. Strategy is all about shaping the future, and that requires a combination of thinking, planning, and reacting to events that will undoubtedly emerge along the way. The crucial questions are, what do we want to do? What do we think is possible? What do we need to do to achieve our goals? And when should we react to new opportunities and adapt plans? Inspiration and insight can be drawn from looking forwards, backwards, and outwards, which often means blending smart prediction with past experience and astute observation of what's happening outside the company and the market category. Strategists need to know what stage their company, industry, products, and services have reached. What crises have they survived? What will be next? Survival is a priority, but growth is better. Crucial questions here are, how has the company grown in the past? What could it fuel in the future? And which markets and products could offer the greatest potential? Just doing what you did last year isn't imaginative enough. This wide-ranging questioning must come before any semblance of a plan is constructed. Smart strategy warning. Don't just dive in and write a plan. Many individuals and companies are fooled by plans. They think that because it is written down in an impressive way, then it must be a good strategy. This is sometimes called the spurious authority of type. Somehow it all seems more convincing when it's typed up. But that doesn't mean that the strategy is any good. If you're drafting a strategy, use a pen and paper. The very last thing you should do is to make it look pretty. Are you staring at a strategy that looks impressive but lacks proper substance? If so, rip it up and think of something more original and effective.
Number 2.
Pursue principles, not money. If your commercial strategy boils down to a number, then the chances are it isn't a strategy. Grow the business by 10% is not a strategy, nor is acquire X number of customers. Each of these might be an objective or a desired outcome, but they're not the means by which you will get there. Strategy has been described as the hard art of standing apart. That means having integrity and a clear sense of purpose, a noble, unwavering belief that translates into firm principles for how to grow your business. It means being distinctive, standing for something and doing what you say you will, none of which is easy. In his book Essentialism, Greg McEwen explains the components of an essential intent. It needs to be both inspirational and concrete. For example, a vision or mission can be inspirational, but is rarely concrete. Quarterly objectives are concrete, but never inspirational. Values are neither, and so are usually both general and bland. Inspiration isn't hard to identify, but it takes bravery. The key to a concrete strategy is answering the question, how will we know when we're done? A laptop for every child in Africa is both concrete and inspirational. Good strategy pursues principles rather than just money. Smart strategy warning. It is important to avoid any wishful thinking. For a strategy to really mean something, it will most likely embrace elements of sacrifice, that's what the company or brand won't do, and be genuine. You can only do that if your strategy captures the imagination and is expressed well. If the strategy is based on a number, it is probably ill-conceived. Numbers are not motivating in their own right. Start by getting the intent of the company or brand right, and if the strategy is a good one, the numbers will follow.
Number 3.
Gap in the market versus market in the gap. Devising an effective brand strategy requires careful thought and dispassionate analysis. Enthusiasm for the fate of the brand is admirable, but hyperbolic language that overemphasizes the capabilities of the brand is not. Too many strategists exaggerate the possibilities available to a brand, but they would be better off being realistic. The first thing to do is map the market. Start by selecting the two most important factors in the market, then plot two perpendicular axes, one for each factor, from high to low, and place your brand and any competitors on the grid. Use the results to identify gaps in the market or significant overlaps. Being out on your own could either be good, i.e. more distinctive, or bad, i.e. in the wrong territory. Being with too many other brands is usually too cluttered, just like school children all chasing a ball. But beware fool's gold. Fool's gold looks like gold, but it isn't. It's usually some other yellow mineral, such as pyrite or chalcopyrite. White space is blank, and when it's on a strategist's market map, it makes them think that there's a gap to be exploited. But they might be wrong. There is apparently a gap in the market, but is there a market in the gap? Brand strategists need to ponder this question carefully before making recommendations too hastily. The apparent gap could simply be a failure masquerading as a viable opportunity. Smart strategy warning. Many strategists knock up a market map and triumphantly declare that they've spotted a gap in the market, but they might be too hasty and wrong. After generating this initial view of the brand position, good strategists must ask two vital questions. One, why is this space unoccupied? And two, what do others know that we don't? The so-called gap may be there for a very good reason, so look carefully at the flaws of that position in the market and at any previous attempts by competitors to occupy that area. Chances are someone has made the same mistake already, so you can avoid it.
Number 4.
Investigate the uninteresting. If you want to make a brand distinctive, you will most likely have to look at things you haven't automatically considered before, so an exploratory phase at the start is vital. It is also essential if you've been working on the same brand for a long time. If so, your strategy may have become repetitive, relying on formulaic old ways and losing its effectiveness on the way. It's at this point that the smart brand strategist will take on a new lease of life and investigate different areas. Identifying and investigating the areas we are not naturally interested in massively multiplies the number of new connections we can make, according to Dave Trott in his book 1 plus 1 equals 3. Ignorance has a tremendous value. If you don't know what apparently can't be done, then you can think freely. This gives you much greater strategic freedom and allows you to unshackle yourself from samey thinking. Your next step is to question the question posed by the brief or by the strategic challenge that has been set. Before you rush to suggested solutions, what precisely is the brand challenge? Answer that and you may progress much faster or arrive in a completely different place. Reinterpreting the brief is often solving the problem. Smart strategy warning. Many brand strategists simply dive in and invent a strategy. That's not very smart. There will be many things that they haven't looked at. A good start would be to list all the old assumptions and beliefs and check whether they are still any help. Next, consider looking at a whole range of outlying issues and material that has been disregarded to date. There may be a gem of an insight lurking there somewhere. Don't simply fall back on what you're comfortable or familiar with. Cast the net much wider. You may surprise yourself and your colleagues.
Number 5.
Messiness equals unexpected links. A good strategy for a brand doesn't emerge from a slow, linear process. you need to leave things a bit messy so that unexpected links can be made. Contrary to what tidy-minded people suggest, if you want to be creative, you may need a little more disorder in your world. Openness and adaptability are inherently messy, as stressed by Tim Harford in his book of the same name. Strategists with so-called weak filters can get easily distracted, but they're actually more creative because they take in more stimuli. Frustration and distraction often help us to solve strategic problems because we're determined to find a better way. Tension can be beneficial. If you're working in a strategy team, messy teamwork actually gets more done because it throws up more possibilities. Interestingly, tidy offices don't work very well because people who work in them feel disempowered. Empowered offices are 30% more productive, and people flourish when they control their own space. A messy desk can help too. In the battle between the so-called filers and pilers, the pilers win because they keep less and regularly ditch material when there's too much on their desk. In contrast, filers have so much stuff that they often can't find things. All of this adds up to what scientist Stuart Kaufman calls the adjacent possible, the nearest next steps that can be made. Leaving things a bit messy opens up many possibilities and may allow you to spot the most fertile next steps. Smart strategy warning. Some strategists adopt such a bohemian approach that they have no structure to their work at all. That's not allowing for unexpected developments, that's just chaos, so a balance is required. Simply being haphazard won't necessarily lead to anything. Examine the sameness of how things usually are, and then deliberately ignite some interesting new interactions to stimulate new thought. Think outside the company too.
Thank you so much to Kevin Duncan, and thank you for listening to our episode of Inside Knowledge today. Do keep an eye on our social media, where we'll be sharing more expert opinions and thought leadership from people such as Kevin Duncan. So for now, take care, and we'll see you next time on LID Radio Podcast.